We might be in the final quarter of the football season, but that doesn't mean winning season is over. Oh, no. With MyBookie and its cash-out system, you are in control of how you bet and how you win for the rest of the season. Season win totals, parlays, points totals. If you're on the right side, you can get out while the getting is good. Cash out. Use the funds on other bets. Or just let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Any way you slice it, you are in control. To get started, go to mybookie.ag now. That's mybookie.ag. Register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit. And remember to use promo code ZABE. That's Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. And grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. The season is running out, but winning season has just begun. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere at mybookie.ag. Have you heard of Gold Belly? I know it sounds weird, right? Gold Belly? Well, it's this amazing website that I order from now all the time, where you can get the most iconic, famous foods from restaurants all across the U.S. And it is perfect for game day, Valentine's Day, any other thing you have going on. Follow me on X and see my video of the Pat's cheesesteaks that I ordered. They were amazing. And my podmaster, Chris, he ordered a gluten-free cake from Daisy Cakes that he says was fantastic. It's for his son, who's on a gluten-free diet. That's the range we're talking about when it comes to foods you can order. Gold Belly has everything from iconic regional favorites to specialized options that you just can't find anywhere else. When you order from Gold Belly and then serve it at your get-together, people are going to say, oh my God, where did you get that? I can't wait to get some Lou Malnati's authentic Chicago deep dish shipped right to my door. And people will say, did you go to Chicago? Whether you're looking to turn game day into an unforgettable experience with friends or want to impress a loved one on Valentine's Day, go to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code ZABE. That's goldbelly.com, code ZABE, for 20% off your first order. That's Gold Belly, your game day go-to. Every day, companies you've probably never heard of are making billions off your personal data. Name, address, phone number, even details about your family. All being pulled from public records and the internet, and then sold without your consent. There's an entire marketplace making money off your privacy, and most people have no idea it exists. Aura fights back. They remove your personal data from broker sites and keep it off. Plus, they alert you fast if your information shows up in a breach or on the dark web. But Aura is more than just a data broker removal tool. It's a full digital security suite. VPN, antivirus, password manager, spam call protection, and dark web monitoring for your social security number, bank logins, and passwords. And if your identity is ever stolen, you're backed by up to $5 million in insurance and 24/7 U.S.-based fraud support. Other services charge the same, but only cover one or maybe two areas. With Aura, you get all of it in one simple app. Right now, you can try Aura for free for 14 days when you visit aura.com/remove. That's enough time for Aura to start removing your personal information from data broker sites. Sign up today at aura.com/remove and get the peace of mind that your privacy, identity, and finances are safeguarded. That's aura.com/remove. Certain terms apply. Check website for more details.
This is the ZABEcast, hosted by a Pop-Tart loving kid from the mean streets of McLean, Virginia. And since you probably have other, more important podcasts to waste your time on, screw those AirPods in tight and let's go.
Here we go. Tuesday, January 27, 2026. Thank you for downloading Solo ZABEcast today. Oh, by the way, did you like the synthetic AI intro? Probably not. I'm trying to get a true announcer voice for my little intro, and I don't want to pay an actual voice talent because they're expensive. And I'm broke and I'm unemployed except for this podcast, which thank God for that. Otherwise, I don't know, I'd be begging out on the street. But still, I don't want to pay for it. And I've actually noodled around with some of these sites to get some pretty good sounding voice track stuff. But I'm a little conflicted because obviously I'm feeding the beast that will someday come to destroy me, come to eat me alive. That the sample of my voice, which can be easily scraped from any number of recordings, my hours and hours and hours, thousands of hours of these podcasts, and then run through the AI grinder, and you can then have it say anything you want. And then you can run artificial intelligence to create a show and just say, okay, create a Zabecast based on the AFC and NFC championship games. Boom. And it would probably sound a lot like me talking about the games. Would it have the usual bon vivants and the raconteur that normally goes with this podcast? Of course not. You cannot replicate that. You better not replicate that. That's one of a kind. That is true human genius at work. Speaking of humans, I was listening today to a radio station in the car, and it was a country station. It was an iHeart station in the D.C. area. It's like Winchester, some country station. And one of their little taglines on their stingers in and out of breaks was guaranteed human. And I'm like, wow, that's an interesting angle right there, that they're putting it in their little stingers and teasers. Okay, whatever. I'm going to keep working on the little, if I can get the voice right and if it sounds good enough to me, then I can change up the little intro to include additional snarky, funny comments. Why are you trying so hard? Nobody cares. Hey, I try things. I want things to be nice and better. I don't want to be complacent and just say, yeah, here's the podcast. Actually, I think a lot of people say they would just like you to start talking. Well, I have heard that. I've heard that intros now for any media, YouTube channel, podcast, if they're more than 10 seconds, you're losing the room, which makes some of my intros that are interminably long, 40 seconds long, that I lovingly crafted, like the one for Friday's podcast with Scott and Solly, which has the various sound bites with it, and then culminating with the great Dracarys from Game of Thrones as she unleashes her dragons. You know, those are probably too long. You've heard them every Friday. You probably skip through them. You're probably skipping through this intro right now. Hell, a lot of you are listening to this podcast at 1.5x speed. More like 2x or even 3. And that also kills me. Of course, when I put out clips sometimes via the podcast platform that I use, in which I use Riverside.fm, and it's a very sophisticated platform that has the ability with one click to remove pauses, to jam everything all tight and in pack, you know, tight, pack it in nice and compact vocally. And I get it that that is now the tempo that drives social media, clips that just have literally no gaps because our patience to wait for a pause, for emphasis, for dramatics is no longer there. But anyway, I'll try to get it dialed in to the point where I like it. And if you guys really totally hate it, then fuck it. I'll just ditch it. And I'll just turn the mic on and start talking, because some of you have said that would be fine by me. I just want to hear you talk about things like sports, which, let's get to it. Is the NFL, in fact, scripted? No, of course not. That's a ludicrous thing to say, but what? The NFL put out a preseason poster in which the two quarterbacks pictured, the two players pictured in the big throng of NFL players that were marching towards the Super Bowl LIX venue, Santa Clara and Levi's Stadium, the two that were the closest of all the players were Drake May and Sam Darnold? What? Yes, it's true. Take a listen. Here's Rich Eisen bringing this up on The Rich Eisen Show.
You know how I feel about the tinfoil hat. It's all scripted stuff that gamblers mostly say about the NFL's season. And the thing that drives me particularly nuts are, you know, the refs are this and the refs are that. And I, you know, was made aware that the ref in the AFC Championship game had refed only wins for Denver, and the ref in the NFC Championship game had refed only wins for the Rams. And
I mean,
look who's going to the Super Bowl, all that stuff. The cutesy stuff is the looking at the Super Bowl logo and the color scheme to see who's made it, and that the NFL knows who's going to make it.
I've heard that
winks
one.
And a nod at you with the color scheme, whatever. That's funny. But this is something I bring up with a little bit of hesitancy and just a, this is nuts. So before the season, the NFL put up this, what would you say, mural, graphic, or whatever?
Yeah, sure, artwork.
Okay, artwork. Yeah. Barkley's at front and center, and Purdy and Burrow and Mahomes and Watt, and all 32 teams are represented looking at the trophy inside of Levi's Stadium for Super Bowl 60. And it's the 32 teams with February dreams were so back. This was the first week of the NFL season. All right, now zoom in on the two quarterbacks who are closest to the trophy.
Yep. That's crazy.
Yep. Yep.
That's fantastic.
Darnold and
there
Mayer
they are.
Up front.
Now, Malik Nabers.
Not just up front. They're up front and center. The two most centered and most up frontage of the players. And they're all, you see they're all their backs, so they're marching away from or standing and looking at the stadium.
Jaden Daniels is close. And
they don't have shoulder.
Marvin Harrison. Sauce Gardner didn't even finish with the Jets.
There's no shoulder.
He wound up teammates with Taylor, and then combined he was, what, 2-15?
Yeah, Sauce Gardner, if you didn't hear this stat, has arguably the worst personal record in the history of the NFL because he went 2-17. He played an extra two games because of the trade, I think it was. And so, talk about a miserable year.
So, I mean, they put Cam Ward right there, but it is kind of nuts that the player that's closest, could you say, now, can we read in to this mural to say, if May looks the closest?
He looks the closest.
Yeah.
It does look like he's closer in proximity to Darnold.
Right. Yeah.
Does that mean the Patriots are going to win?
Yeah.
I've bet crazier angles than that for the Super Bowl. Because it does look like Drake May is a half a step ahead of Sam Darnold. Now, Dr. David J. Chow, a sports injury consultant to the Stars on Twitter, says that Drake May did hurt his shoulder during the AFC Championship game to an extent that is not at this time currently fully known. The Patriots don't have to disclose anything until next week. Of course, he's going to get round-the-clock treatment if there is something wrong with it from now until then. Sam Darnold's oblique was still a bit of an issue because you saw him with the sort of the heating wrap or the vibration wrap or the sonic wrap around him during the game itself. But yeah, I bet crazier angles and, well, it's on the poster right there. Maybe the league has sussed all of this out. Maybe we're living in a giant simulation. Have you ever done any deep dives into simulation theory in life? That's another one, which now that we're post-regular football, and this is going to be a tough week. I was telling my wife, I go, you know what? It's Saturday. I goes, honey, what's the matter? I go, it's the first Saturday in 4.5 months we haven't had football. She was like, poor you. And I said the week before we had Thursday football taken away from us. And prior to that, we had Monday football taken away from us. And it sort of is like the old line from Any Given Sunday, a movie that I really like, even though it had a lot of things that were completely absurd, starting with a team based in Miami choosing to have black uniforms and to wear them as home uniforms in the Southern Florida sun. The eyeball scene was absurd. Al Pacino's character and his dress, his attire on the sideline was absurd. But the saying from that movie is that, well, when you get older, things get taken away from you. That's just a fact of life. Here's the bite right here.
You know, when you get old in life, things get taken from you. I mean, that's part of life. But you only learn that when you start losing stuff.
Yeah. So it's just fascinating to me the way that certain angles on this game become a thing. So that's one storyline to keep in the back of your mind as we head towards the Super Bowl. Also, I'm fascinated by this, and a lot of you either don't care or you wish that the guy would go away, but Dave Portnoy was once famously dragged out of the Super Bowl because he had been banned from going to the game by Goodell and his minions over various sort of viral stunts that, you know, Portnoy had staged with Barstool over the years, including the, you know, the clown nose t-shirts of Goodell during Deflategate. I believe there was something at a Radio Row prior to this, but they put him and a couple of the guys, I think PFT commenter, they put him on essentially a no-fly list or you're not allowed in the building list. And they literally sent their goons in to get Portnoy, who was wearing glasses and a fake mustache. And they dragged his ass out. He went limp as they dragged him out. And it was all caught on video. Great viral moment. The kind of thing that helped put Portnoy and Barstool over to a certain extent as the bad boys of sports media. And as they made the Super Bowl this past Sunday, I thought to myself, oh, shit. Is he going to be able to go? Will he be allowed into the stadium? And apparently he just tweeted today, word is the Barstool ban is off and that they will not be banned from going. Of course, they've got Fox in bed with them with Wake Up Barstool. And so, you know, the whole company has been legitimized, much to some people's dismay, but it's been legitimized with mainstream media. And so therefore you would think that there'd be a lot of allies on their side to lift the ban, but it's just so dumb. Hey, you caused a ruckus at Media Day at Radio Row, so therefore you're going to be banned from going to the game and sitting peacefully in your seat. That's the NFL for you. At least it was under Goodell a couple years ago. We'll see if it has changed since then. Sam Darnold is obviously going to be a huge story. People picking up on the fact that the class of 2018 quarterbacks, first-round class, has produced three MVPs, a ton of Pro Bowls, a ton of All-Pro nominations, but now Darnold is the first to actually make it to the Super Bowl. And that's a hell of a story right there. Sam Darnold also cleaned up when it came to bonuses. Get a load of these. Cha-ching, cha-ching. $500,000 for 4,000 yards passing this year. Ding. I should get my dinger here. Where's my ding thing here? Don't have it. Okay. 500 grand for 67.5% completion rate. Ding. 500,000 for a top 10 offense. Ding. 500,000 for a playoff berth. Ding. 500,000 for a divisional round win. Ding. And 500,000 for a conference championship win as well. Ding. That's an extra $3 million earned. That tweet from Front Office Sports. Of course, with that money, he can maybe afford to buy a few tickets for friends and family. And by a few, I mean, well, a few. Cheapest Super Bowl ticket right now, get in price, $7,000. Stupid. I talked to Darren Revelle about this on Sunday's shift on WJFK that I did, Sports Sunday, in D.C. And I asked Darren, because he's kind of like the king of secondary prices, get-in prices. Darren made his big mark and really established himself in the post-9/11 Super Bowl in New Orleans, where he waited till the last minute and got a ticket to get into that heavily fortified Super Bowl for an obscenely low price. I want to say it was under $100. Don't quote me on it. But ever since, Darren has been pretty good about following and tracking and understanding the secondary resale market. And I asked him, I said, well, how is it that the college football championship had such a absolutely insane price for the worst seat in the building, $4,000? Who would actually pay for that? Who are those people? Because if you're a high roller, you're not going to sit all the way up in the top row. You're already going to be a guest to somebody else who's got real stupid money, who paid 10 grand for your ticket and doesn't even flinch. And what Darren said to me, he goes, look, the kids today, the 20-year-olds today, they live with a much different mindset than you and I. They are far more YOLO with their money, which is honestly irresponsible, but it is what it is. He said they gamble a lot more now because of legalized gambling on their phones. And most importantly, speaking of their phones, they need the social capital of being able to prove that they were at the event. And so therefore, $4,000 is a ton of money. But at least if they get that ticket, they can then wear their gear, be in the stadium, and take all the selfies and videos and TikToks they want and show them to everybody. And that will last for a long time to be able to say, yep, I was there. Hey, you want to hear about how at halftime we went down to get a hot dog and then we ran into the... No, I don't want to hear that at all. No, I got to tell you, though, it was really cool, man. Do you know I was there? Yeah, you paid $4,000, idiot. I bet if they confiscated every one cell phone at the gate of a major sporting event, ticket prices would absolutely crater. Because think about it. You are there, you just can't prove it. You are there, you could experience it, but you get no assets. Yeah, I'm not paying anything for that. But the Super Bowl is a different beast. It is a corporate beast, obviously, and it is one in which the prices have been going up, up, and up. And I would say these two fan bases, even though, you know, they're making, once again, another trip to the Super Bowl, Seahawks will be there for the fourth time, and the Patriots the 11th time since 2000, the two cities are pretty damn rich. Liberal cities, no doubt about it, but liberals have money too, lots of money, and they will splurge on their favorite teams to actually go to the games. Going to the Super Bowl, though, is a very overrated affair. Staying home on TV, watching it there, is underrated. And with this winter weather we've got here in the D.C. area and most of the country now, it's going to be even better than ever to watch it at home. And NBC announced that it'll present the Super Bowl and the Olympics in 4K HDR all day on NBC and Peacock. A first for the network. For you nerds that don't understand, I mean, you understand 4K, but HDR, high dynamic resolution. Resolution? No, high dynamic range. Excuse me.
You don't even know what it is.
High dynamic range. That's where the brights are brighter, the darks are darker. When you see it, you'll be like, ah, my eye is pleased. This is pleasing to my eye. You won't know why it's pleasing. You would have to be shown a non-HDR image, and then you would go, something missing with this one. But you need a good TV to drive it. I am watching more and more as I turn my head and look at it right now, my 55-inch Samsung frame, the OLED display that is 4K and is absolutely amazing. I desperately want a larger one, kind of like my brother got for himself for Christmas. I definitely have TV envy, but I want one that's more than just 70 inches. I want a 100-incher or 110 to get rid of my projector in the 5-hour energy dome, because as good as that projector is, for the most part, it can't get bright enough for my liking. I can't make it pop enough, not compared to this TV to my left. So yes, I'm watching fewer and fewer big games, especially if there's not three going on at once, in my office. And I know that's a real 1% of 1% problem. Have you heard about the pushback on bad weather games in the AFC and NFC championships? Apparently Mike Florio, ProFootballTalk.com, is spearheading this dumb idea. He wants the NFL to go to neutral site championship games. Neutral site being warm weather sites. They would essentially be mini Super Bowls. Many of us think this is a horrible, awful, terrible, no good idea. that strips away the best thing about finishing with the best record in your conference, that gateway to the Super Bowl. If you win your first playoff game, you're at home. Don't fuck it up, although teams have. I don't like this idea on multiple fronts. Number one, it takes it away from the season ticket holders who should be rewarded. It does take home field advantage out of it, noise out of it. It takes the elements out of it. But the reason a lot of people are going to this pushback is because they just didn't like how the, you know, fourth quarter of the Broncos-Patriots game turned into, like I mentioned with Andy, the Battle of the Bulge. It was hunker down, try to survive. Of course, it could have been a tie game going into overtime, which would have been truly fascinating to see who would have won, but Will Lutz's field goal was blocked. And why was it blocked? Because Will Lutz said they may have miscounted the snap distance. That's right. It's normally a 7-yard offset, and they might have gone just 6 because they couldn't tell the yard lines. And so this also drew a lot of pushback from people going, oh, you're just making excuses. And Lutz had to say, look, I'm not making excuses. I'm telling you what might have happened, and it might have been a factor. I take every missed kick, including blocked kicks, as my responsibility. I don't think you should really blame Lutz for that kick. It was a hell of a play to block it. And shit, the kick was in a driving snowstorm. Who knows which direction it would have flown? Would it have flown true and gone through the uprights? Nobody knows. But this notion of, we had one game. And yeah, it was a championship game, but one game, which it wasn't that fun to watch because teams couldn't do anything. We need to change everything. I hate this thinking. Just go with what we got. If it turns into a siege and it's hunkered down and try to get 3 yards and figure out a way to get in position for a field goal to tie or a touchdown to win, so be it. Football's about figuring out. Football's about soldiering on when other sports and other games would not and do not. But hey, dumb ideas sometimes get legs that they don't deserve. Preseason odds for the Super Bowl were the most unlikely ever. This according to @SOHistory, Sports Odds History. Ooh, I got to throw them a follow. Sports Odds History tracks this stuff. The Seahawks opened the year at 60-1 at BetMGM, and the Patriots were 80-1. Obviously, the sports books didn't see the poster from the NFL that told you very simply, hey, guys, you see the two guys in front? That's going to be the Super Bowl right there. If the NFL puts out a poster next year, and they got to put out a poster, right? They got to put out a poster just so we can obsess about it and say, oh, who's in front? Who's closest in the big march of many, many NFL players to the Super Bowl site? That'll tell us who the NFL is scripted to win. It's the first time that two teams have met in the Super Bowl with both 50-1 or higher odds. Speaking of the odds, in case you've been under a rock, the Super Bowl line is Seattle -4.5. That's about right. There was some online speculation with me and the knuckleheads on the text string. One gentleman thought it'd be closer to 8 or 9. I get 8 or 9. I'm putting a lot of money on the Patriots. Even though they look like dog shit for most of the game, even before it started snowing in Denver offensively. And they've got the Seahawks as a finely tuned humming machine. You're going to have a fast track out there in Santa Clara. I would take the Patriots plus a big number. I don't know which way I'm leaning. Of course, for all your Super Bowl wagering needs, please go to mybookie.com. Use promo code ZABE. Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. It's been the only sports book that I have partnered with and I endorse since many years ago, almost 7 years ago, before the proliferation of all the other guys, because they are the shop that does it right. And I back them. And if you ever have any issue with your account, you can also come to me and say, hey, I don't understand. This is, you know, I'm trying to do this, trying to do that. I will, and I have not intervened, but I've been a representative to then reach out to my contact at my bookie and say, hey, what about this? Sometimes I can satisfy your request. Other times, it's just the rules, and you didn't read the rules. There are rollover rules on bonuses, but this exists at every online gambling site anywhere. Here's a wild stat. USC has had 26 quarterbacks picked in the NFL draft. 26. The most of any school. Somehow, Sam Darnold is the first to start in a Super Bowl. That is crazy. Fight on. We might be in the final quarter of the football season, but that doesn't mean winning season is over. Oh, no. With MyBookie and its cash-out system, you are in control of how you bet and how you win for the rest of the season. Season win totals, parlays, points totals. If you're on the right side, you can get out while the getting is good. Cash out. Use the funds on other bets. Or just let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Any way you slice it, you are in control. To get started, go to mybookie.ag now. That's mybookie.ag. Register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit. And remember to use promo code ZABE. That's Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. And grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. The season is running out, but winning season has just begun. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere at mybookie.ag. Okay, let's change it up. Get to some other stuff. Are you aware of people's unhappiness with the weight loss commercial that has gone trending recently in viral circles? You've seen the ad by now, I'm sure, having watched NFL games. The, I don't want to call it outrage, but the pushback to this online is just recent. And I feel like, yeah, I've been looking at that guy who unfortunately looks like he's 500 pounds. I've seen him now for weeks. Where have you guys been? Is this somehow new to everybody? And I want to go ahead and play the ad for you. It's for a drug company, Lilly. Lilly drug ad, fat guy dieting. Let's see if this comes up handily. Yeah, Eli Lilly is the drug company, and the commercial can be found right here. Okay, here we go. Here we go. Hold on.
I've been dieting since I was 12. You think I need to hear about your workout routine?
Now, look, there's one thing I can get with him on. I hate it when people say, I'm going out for a run. Okay, nice humble flex there. I'm going to the gym. When people unnecessarily insert their little, I'm going for a run or I'm going to the gym. I didn't ask that. I just asked, who do you like this week in our golf pool? I don't know. I'll get back to you once I get back from the gym, bro. I'm going to the gym.
You don't stop to ask about mine. No matter what I do, you're going to have your own thoughts. So get it all out. And while you're in the comment section, I'll be focusing on what really matters. Like how I feel when I'm waking up in the morning. Like showing up for people I love. My health is my focus. And my body is nobody's business but mine.
I mean, it very sad eyes. And the poor guy, he looks like he's inflated. But the whole thing about, I've tried everything. Remember, it's a drug company. I'm pretty sure Eli Lilly has their own semi-glutide product, which is proving to be a billion-dollar category. The Ozempic category is absolutely blowing up. But the whole ad is just very off-putting. Bro, I didn't call you fat. I'm not in any comment sections telling you to put the cheeseburger down and go get on a bicycle. Hey, come on now. All right. Like, why are you lecturing me? It's not just a straw man type of argument or a straw man commercial, but so what are you saying? Like, who is this marketed to? Other people who have tried to lose weight and are morbidly obese? And they look at the guy like, yeah, you tell him, fatty. Sorry. I can't say that. You tell them, buddy. Tried everything. I know that at a certain weight, it's very challenging. However, there is no great mystery as to how you can turn things around. In fact, Frank the Tank from Barstool, who has lost, I want to say, 300 pounds, that Frank was himself 500 pounds, came out and clapped that commercial saying, what the hell? This is the kind of shit I would tell myself when I was 500 pounds. He started by walking every day, and they would film it for Barstool, and other people joined in to walk with him. Even guys like Mike Francesa would walk with Frank the Tank. I was lucky enough to meet Frank when he came to Milwaukee on sort of a, you know, publicity junket, and he was throwing out first pitches at various ballparks. Sweetest guy ever. Obviously has some neurodivergent little tendencies to him, but as a father of a child with autism, doesn't faze me one bit. Love his passion, although I worry about him, because when his team, he's picked the shittiest group of teams basically to be a fan of. The Mets, the Dolphins. Oh, Lord. Anyway, it's just a weird commercial, and I wonder if it's working the way they want. I would love to have been in the pitch meetings for this to understand where they were coming from. Are you aware of the Louisville Metro Police Department's tweets during the recent snowstorm? If not, you need to get up to speed because they're pretty epic. This came across my timeline while we were snowed in the last 24 hours or so. Louisville, here's one of their tweets. By the way, that whole part of the country is fucked. I got friends in Nashville, other parts of that area, the middle part of the country, where they got ice. They got freezing rain and a ton of it. And trees are down. It's a war zone. The streets are straight up ice rinks. And it's not going to get above freezing for days, maybe longer. So I don't know how they're going to operate. Like, there's just no way to combat it if it's never going to get above freezing for a long time. Anyway, Louisville and their Louisville Police Department and their social media was on an absolute tear during this. Here was one of my favorite bangers. Louisville received about 4 inches of snow, yet somehow every Honda Civic in the county has decided to reenact the Oregon Trail. Sir, your vehicle has died of being a Honda Civic, and now it's in a ditch. A wrecker will be with you in 5 hours. Other ones that said, if you decide to go do donuts in an empty parking lot, that's between you and Jesus. We're not getting involved. Today, though, a day later, the account tweeted an apology. And I'm like, an apology? Come on. Tell me this is just part of the bit. There's other tweets saying, there's an HR meeting scheduled for 10 a.m. Hey, ChatGPT, are we cooked? Question mark. Don't apologize for this. Here was their apology. Good afternoon. The LMPD wishes to apologize for the tone of our tweets over the last 48 hours. Our social feeds do not accurately reflect the entire department or this community. Oh, my God. Get real. Speaking of apologizing, Paul Allen, play-by-play voice and talk show host on KFAN in Minneapolis, play-by-play voice of the Minnesota Vikings, and I think one of the best to ever do it, the perfect embodiment of the rapier-witted and passionate, unapologetically Homerific hometown radio announcer in football. That's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to rep your team, and he's great at it, even though two of his most iconic calls came during unimaginable defeats for the home team, the team that he loves and covers, the Vikings, one of which being the Favre interception down in New Orleans, where after a stunned bit of silence, he blurts out, "You can't do that, man! Just kick a field goal, we're going to the Super Bowl!" But Paul Allen on his talk show last week was responding to one of his co-hosts talking about some viral trend where people out and protesting were putting cayenne pepper in their boots because it helped heat their feet. And I'm pretty sure that's a complete myth, but maybe not. And just in an offhand comment, he said, hey, do paid protesters during these very tense standoffs get hazard pay? Oh boy, that did not go over well. Sites like Awful Announcing picked it up, ran with it, started rattling the cage, even unfairly slanted it by saying, Paul Allen repeats paid protesters hoax or conspiracy theory. It's not. There are, in fact, paid protesters. Some paid protesters. There's also some paid adjutants. There are some financially supported elements of some of this stuff. And then beyond that, there are thousands and thousands of unpaid, otherwise well-meaning citizens of Minnesota that are out to gather and show their voice and to have their voice heard. And then there's just a bunch of leftist lunatics mixed in as well. It's a mixed bag, in other words. There's a lot in there, but the notion that there's paid protesters, like, duh. I watched a video of a guy that had figured out that tracks this stuff, and he's like, look at this woman here. She is at this protest, this protest, this protest, like seven different causes in the span of, I don't know, a year. And she had all these different signs, and there's no way, even if she believed in all the different causes in all these different cities and all these different protests, there's no way she was doing this just on her own. That's why the term rent-a-mob is an actual thing. You can, obviously, pay people to protest. But boy, did it not go over well for Paul Allen. Paul Allen absolutely put his hand into an electrified socket in that city. Because even if 50% of the people in Minneapolis, and it's probably more like 30%, quietly agreed with him, there was no way he was going to win this one. There was no way that this wasn't going to result in major corporate backlash and whatnot. Because as good as he is, the bottom line is he is on a stage in a city that has gone super far left, and they love their Vikings, and they don't want their Vikings to be called by a guy who they think, even in any way, shape, or form, could not be of the similar mindset. Well, here was Paul Allen giving his apology and telling the listeners he was going to take a few days off. Translation, suspension. Paid, unpaid, who knows? Depends on how good his agent is or whatever.
Good morning. I made a comment on Air Friday about protesters and the weather that was insensitive and poorly timed, and I'm sorry. It was a misguided attempt at humor, and while it was never meant with any ill intent or political affront, I absolutely and wholeheartedly want to apologize to those who genuinely were hurt or offended by it. 9 to Noon doesn't formulate political opinions. We don't bash or praise political discussions or even focus on political issues. This time slot always has been a sport-centered space built to entertain, a place where we chat about sports, offer an escape from the heavy stuff, and give listeners the distraction they need from everything else going on. As I've stated many times before, we serve you, not the other way around. We're very fortunate and thank you for counting on us as long as you have. It means more than you'll ever know. My best was lacking Friday, and for that I am sorry. I am taking a few days off, but wanted to express these thoughts and my sincere apology with you before I do. We thank our friend Paul Charchian for handling 9 to Noon today.
Hey now, Charge! All right, attaboy. That said, the reputational damage to Paul Allen in the Twin Cities will never go away. No matter how many people say, okay, we forgive you, we get it, we believe you are of a good heart, there's too many people out there who will never, ever, like, he has ruined himself for the comfortable place that he once sat and stood in Minnesota. I mean, Paul Allen was beloved there. by my understanding of things. Didn't just call the Vikings, didn't just do a talk show, but also was really good at calling, I guess, harness racing or some kind of horse racing at a nearby track. I met him once. It was cool. Wasn't as warm of a exchange as I had hoped, but he meets a million people all the time. I know people say that about me. I think his calls are excellent on Viking games, and good luck to him. I don't know if not apologizing was an option. I would say that this apology is pretty straightforward. It sounded like it was scripted, or at least bullet pointed out. I don't think he went in the studio just to read the statement. He recorded it. They played it. And then Charch took over. We'll see when I have on Charch. We'll see when I have Charch on later this week, whether Paul Allen can sort of repair his image in Minneapolis. But it's a tough deal right there. You got to know. You got to have a sense of the stage and the city you're in. Shedeur Sanders has been added to the Pro Bowl. Yeah, you heard that right. Shedeur Sanders. He, of the 7 touchdowns over 10 INTs, with just 1,400 passing yards on the year, because he wasn't a starter from week one, completing barely 50% of his passes, is a Pro Bowler. Why? Well, because everyone else is out or doing things or golfing or they don't care. Remember, the Pro Bowl has already been reduced to a joke. It's a flag football game during the off week between the Super Bowl and the conference championship games. So this just only further propels it into complete joke territory. The AFC Pro Bowl quarterbacks, according to voting, were Drake May, Josh Allen, Justin Herbert. Obviously, May's in the game. He's not going to play. Josh Allen is banged up. He chose not to play. Herbert, same thing. So what are you going to do? Well, they could have taken Trevor Lawrence, more deserving, Aaron Rodgers, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow. But I know in the cases of Rodgers, Jackson, and Burrow, they didn't want to go and do this thing either. Now, I don't know about Trevor Lawrence, if it's a snub or not. It's just more of a joke. It's possible Lawrence quietly said, look, I don't want to go do this thing. The whole flag football, the whole thing now repulses me. And it's not because I loved the previous fake football game that was played at best 80% speed on a shitty AstroTurf field in Honolulu with the weird colors of the jerseys, or the red and the blue jerseys, and then the colors of the helmets because guys wore their own helmets. I liked it. I thought it was a cool thing. I didn't love it, though. I wasn't sitting there watching every second of a 53-48 game down off of Waikiki Beach. But then the 53-48 started to become more like 76-72, and then more and more guys said, I'm not going to play. The field's too hard. We don't like it. And then they tried moving it around to different cities that were the cities that would have the Super Bowl to give fans who wanted to come early to start the week on that Sunday something to do. The Pro Bowl used to still get, when it was the week after the Super Bowl, an amazing rating given the farcical nature of the game itself. It would still draw like a 7, 8, 9 share because it's still football players running around in their respective helmets and were undergoing withdrawal from the Super Bowl and the season being over. Oh, I'll just watch this one more game. But now it's turned in, with the flag football element of it. And of course, the NFL is heavily invested in flag because, get ready, it's a new revenue stream and they can involve girls. Oh, who doesn't want to develop a whole new segment of diehard, lifelong NFL fans than girls? And I've got 2 girls. And if they were into flag football when they were in high school and they wanted to play, I would have said, great, knock yourself out. But flag football is so not football on any level. And so men playing flag football is a complete joke. And please don't send me your links, photos, or time that your flag team went to nationals and you scored 6 touchdowns. I don't care. Football, to me, at its core essence, is knowing what it's like to get tackled really, really hard and to hurt and to feel pain and to go, and then you've got about 30 seconds to get your ass up with your leg on fire and hobble back to the huddle, get the next play, and go line up against another guy who is now snarling at you. Fuck you up, man. Fuck yeah. Did you like that? Fuck you up. That's the mental part. That's football at its core. The only way to replicate that is through the brutality of tackle football. Flag football is sort of skibbity-doo gravity ass. Hey, it's the NFC-AFC skibbity-doo gravity ass game, and Shedeur Sanders is there. And of course he was going to say yes to it because nobody loves the spotlight more than good old Shedeur. But the jokes and the memes are flying, such as, you know, it's totally unfair that Kevin Stefanski developed Shedeur into a Pro Bowl quarterback and they fired him anyway. I'm not going to watch it. I'll see clips, though. It's just so stupid. Again, let's go back to what I just said. The Pro Bowl is something that's being taken away. It got taken away from us. We don't have it anymore. We don't at least have the helmeted 80% speed week after the Super Bowl, and star players would play knowing there's a chance you could get hurt, but probably not. But I'll do it anyway. That's been taken away. That was a nice little thing we don't have anymore. Just like things, other exhibitions, like the Cooperstown game for Major League Baseball, that's out. Things get worse. Things go away. What are you going to do? And while we're on that note, let me conclude on this about things that were once, I think, good and are now going to be no longer. The final Southwest Airlines flight with true open seating will take place. When is this? Oh, tonight. So this would be Monday the 26th. The last scheduled Southwest flight will take place from Honolulu to L.A. I didn't know Southwest flew to Hawaii. Huh. It's slated to be flown by the Desert Gold Retrojet, tailfin number N871HK. That's the classic Southwest colors. It's the color of the plane I've got mounted atop my Malcolm McLeod trophy because it was a Southwest flight the boys almost missed with the boarding pass mix-up. Sharp-looking color scheme, if you ask me. The gold and the orange, nice. But it's a retro jet dedicated to the carrier's founder, Herb Kelleher. I loved flying Southwest under the old pick-your-seat rules because I figured out the way to do it. That when you were on a flight that was not totally full, the first step you had to do was ascertain at the gate how many people are on this flight. And if they tell you two-thirds full or if they tell you half full, that can make a huge difference. But I never tried to get to the highest, like especially in a full flight, having an A boarding pass doesn't matter. Yeah, you'll get a window or an aisle, but you don't know who's going to be next to you. And that was always the unfortunate luck of the draw sometimes. You might get the guy who's in the commercial going, you think I haven't tried dieting? My weight is my business, pal. That guy wedges himself in between you and somebody else. You're fucked. That was the worst part of Southwest. But I figured out my system for Southwest after a particularly white-knuckle flight home from Vegas one time. And I've told this story, so I'll keep this short for those who haven't heard it. Essentially, I was in the back of the plane, and two chuckleheads, two complete rednecks, who had gone out to L.A. to go look at a pickup truck. That's right. They were going to go buy a pickup truck. How do I know this? Because I ended up talking to them. They went to go get a pickup truck. And they didn't get the pickup truck, so they flew home. But these two rednecks started getting so drunk, and they were being assholes to me. Like, the one guy next to me was, like, pointing at and touching my iPad screen, looking, I was watching Game of Thrones. Oh, that guy's kind of fucked up. And I was not having it. Now you might say, well, grow some balls and tell him if you're gonna touch my iPad again, there's gonna be a problem. Well, I'm not gonna fucking fight this idiot and his buddy on the plane. I'm not gonna get put on a no-fly list because of this. And I believe they really started getting out of control somewhere over Kansas. I got up at one point, hung out near the lavatory. I asked the flight attendant, I was like, is there another open seat on this flight? She's like, no, we're totally full. And I go, could you do me a favor? Can you discreetly kind of come by and check on these guys and see if you can't say something? Of course, the flight attendant didn't want to get involved in this, so she didn't help out. And so it was at that point I realized the only way that I was going to be able to not lose my mind the last half leg of the trip was to try to befriend my seatmate captors, if you will. And I talked. That's where I got to know them. I'm like, well, what are you doing out in L.A.? Are you going to get a truck? Oh, yeah, okay. But they were just fucking low IQ tools. And luckily, finally landed at BWI. We got off just fine. I couldn't have walked faster away from the plane if I tried. And I said, never again. Never again. Never again. And so my system was, if the flight is full, I don't care if I've got a B2 boarding pass, I will just wait. I'll wait till the end. I'll wait till the end of the seas. I will choose you. Well, I used to not wait till the end of the seas. I would lay back a bit. I think I determined my optimal spot in a full flight was somewhere around B25, which was kind of where the aisle and window seats ran out. And you say, well, then you're consigning yourself to a center seat. And I go, I know. But I'm going to get the best fucking center seat. I'm going to get the center seat between a little trim Japanese businessman with horn-rimmed glasses minding his own business and a little old lady with knitting needles. They're going to have narrow shoulders and my fat ass will plop right between them. And as they look on at me in disgust, I'll just have that look of, well, I chose you, not the other way around. And unfortunately, that has come to an end because Southwest is absolutely wheezing financially in the new unfriendly skies of modern commercial air travel where they nickel and dime you. Oh, you want an extra 2 inches of leg room? Well, that's another $75. Oh, you want to... And of course, the other part of Southwest is choose your seats, choose to pay more for more leg room, but you got to pay for your bags. The two free bags on Southwest were one of the last great things where you really felt like you were getting over on all the other airlines. Bring a full suitcase and a golf bag. Free. Not no more. I salute you, Southwest. May you survive. May you not become the next TWA or Braniff or Eastern Airlines or Value Jet. Good God, that thing cracked. Okay, you get my point. Defunct airlines for 500. Alex. Whew, look at the time. 52 minutes of just me talking. I hope this was an acceptable entertainment product for you to listen to and that you don't mind the little splash of AI to introduce it today. Thanks for listening. I got guys coming the rest of the week. We got Butchie again this week. I got a special announcement regarding Zay Vegas coming this week. Charge, who you heard Paul Allen give thanks to for filling in. He'll be in this week. He may or may not have more to say about the situation. I'm not going to lead him into anything that'll get him in trouble. And then, of course, we'll still have Scott and Solly during this bye week before Super Bowl LIX in Santa Clara. Thank you for listening. Rate and review. It helps tickle the algorithmic overlords. Have yourself a great Tuesday. And if you're in the icebox like much of the country, good luck, Godspeed, and don't have a heart attack trying to shovel or chisel away your snow or sleet, which has all put us in some form of lockdown. Thanks for listening. Have a great day, and we will see you next time. Let's take this town. We might be in the final quarter of the football season, but that doesn't mean winning season is over. Oh no. With MyBookie and its cash out system, you are in control of how you bet and how you win for the rest of the season. Season win totals, parlays, points totals. If you're on the right side, you can get out while the getting is good. Cash out. Use the funds on other bets, or just let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Any way you slice it, you are in control. To get started, go to mybookie.ag now. That's mybookie.ag. Register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit, and remember to use promo code ZABE. That's Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, and grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. The season is running out, but winning season has just begun. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere at mybookie.ag.